Truth is, the Eitan should be the one giving the shir. He's the baki in Hilchos Brachos. So I guess for the next few weeks, short time he has, we'll the two things. We're not going to get whole Hilchos Brachos in by any means in 4 weeks. But Hilchos Brachos is found in the sixth parak, Ketzad Mevarchim in Brachos. I'm going to try to get to as much of it as possible. And it's found in Shulchan Aruch, Chelek Beis of the Mishneh Berurah, the number of simanim and stuff. So we're going to try to hopefully incorporate some Gemara, some of the Shulchan Aruch, some Lamedes, some Halach Lamais, everything all together as best as we possibly can. And I want to try to go for the most part in order, but I decided to start smack in the middle of the sixth parak for one good introductory topic. And hopefully tonight I'll do two topics. One is just the regular tsura. What's the structure of a bracha? How should bracha be made up? And secondly, the Gemara tells us that brachas could be said in any language, understanding what type of languages that kind of works in. So the Gemara in Brachos Daf Mem and Beis presents a machlokas between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. Rav says that kol bracha she'ein b'haskaras Hashem ein bracha. If there's no shame Hashem in a bracha, it's disqualified. It's not considered a good bracha. Rabbi Yochanan argues and says, not only that, not only do you need Shem Hashem, you also need, he says, kol bracha she'ein b'malchus ein bracha. If it doesn't have malchus, melech, that also is not a good bracha. Now Rabbi Yochanan agrees to Rav, you also need Shem Hashem, but he required two things, Shem Hashem and malchus. Berchata Hashem Elokeinu melech. That's a prerequisite for making a bracha. So Gemara says, Amar Abayi kvaseid the Rav. Abayi says the brisa that supports the opinion of Rav, that's enough to have Shem Hashem, you don't need melech. What's the support? It's really a Mishnah Osa in the end of Maaseh Sheni, I think. La'avarti mimitosech avlo shakachti. That when you do Maaseh Sheni, when you do it's called a vidui Maaseh. You go to Maaseh Sheni, you bring the fruits of the first, second, fifth, and sixth years. Sorry, fourth and fifth years, 1, 2, 4, 5. You go to Yerushalayim and you do vidui Maaseh. You make this whole declaration. You did this right, you did this right, you didn't do this wrong, you didn't do this wrong. So the pasuk says, "Lo avarti mi mitzvosech." I didn't violate any mitzvahs. "Lo shachachti." I didn't forget anything. What does that mean? Gemara says, "Lo avarti mi levarch." I didn't forget to make a bracha. "Lo shachachti mi lahazgir shimcholav." I didn't forget to mention Hashem's name. So Gemara says it only says mentioning Hashem's name is essential to bracha. It doesn't say you have to mention malchus. So it seems like a proof for Rav. So Rabbi Yochanan answers, no, it also means milhaz kishimcha umalchus cholav. I didn't forget to say Shem Hashem, and I didn't forget malchus either. So how do we paskin in the end of the day? So Tosa says you would think to paskin like Rav, because Abayi tried bringing a support for Rav. He tried bringing a brisa. We should Shem Hashem should be enough. But nonetheless, the Rif and others paskin like Rabbi Yochanan that you need two things when saying a bracha. You need Shem Hashem, and you need malchus. That's how we pass it.
To be a formal bracha like this, some kind of like perfect bracha.
Exactly. This is, I mean, to get anything started, even talk about brachas, you need Baruchata Hashem Elokeinu Melech.
Okay.
We're going to go into each particular word, what's necessary, but that's the prerequisite for having a bracha.
Why that order?
You have to get into, and that's how the Chachamim really created it. We'll see later on from a case of Yisro, maybe that's why they have a certain structure. We'll get to that a little bit later. Why that order? It makes sense. That's the proper way, I guess, to give a bracha. But so Baruch, so at this point you need at least Shem Hashem and Melech. That's what we need right now. If you look at Tosos writes that, he says, therefore if you skip the word Lachach, he writes, in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak, if you skip the word Malchus, in Birchas Amotzi, let's say, for example, you have to repeat the bracha and say Malchus. He goes a step further. You also, if you skip the word Ha'olam, that too is not enough. Saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Melech doesn't really mean much, because Obama's a president also, and there's a king here, and there's a king. Calling him a Melech is not really saying that much. Melech Ha'olam, that's a full-fledged Malchus. So therefore, according to Tosfos, you need two things. You need really three things. You need Hashem and Melech Ha'olam. You look in the back of the Shilta Yigiburim, you have to turn the nap. The Shilta Yigiburim in Chaf Chesma Beis in the Rif, he writes, some hold you don't have to say Ha'olam. It's enough to say Melech. Recognizing a Kadosh Baruch Hu is a Melech is enough for a bracha, according to Rabbi Yochanan. Now, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, brought a Mishnah Berurah here. Shulchan Aruch, we knock off a simon just like that, a very small simon here, Reish Yud Dalid. He Paskins like this Tosfos. And he says, Kol bracha she'ein baz karas shem u'malchus ein bracha. Like Rabbi Yochanan. You need shem Hashem, you need malchus. Vim dilag shem u'malchus. If you skip either shem or the malchus, yachsev yivarch. It's a bracha. Va'afil lo dilag ela tevas ha'olam. Even if you only skip ha'olam, also, tzarech lachsev yivarch. You need shem, melech, ha'olam. Those three things. Look at the Berlach's interesting discussion. He quotes a Sefer Evan Ha'ozer, which thinks that's really a suffix in terms of Ha'olam. If you don't say Ha'olam, it's really a suffix. It sounds at the end, according to Berlach, he seems to favor that if you do skip the word Ha'olam, you may not have to go back. And since Suffix Berachos L'Hakel, if you skip the word Ha'olam, it shouldn't happen. But if you do skip it, Pasha says you wouldn't have to repeat the Bracha. Then he adds, again, not all these things are necessarily going to come up, but if you say the word Ha'melech, that will suffice. Because HaMelech, the king, that's really declaring HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the king of the world. Melech HaOlam would say that, and HaMelech would really say the same thing as well. So we pass in that way, like Rabbi Yochanan, you need Melech, you need HaOlam, Lechachila, B'dievet, he says otherwise. But what comes up very interestingly is there are a number of brachos that do not have Malchus. You know any examples? Ah, exactly. So Tosis asks that question. Tosis says, if according to Rabbi Yochanan says that Malchus is a prerequisite for bracha, look at all the brachas of Shemoneh Esrei. So there are like 5-6 answers which are all very, very interesting. So he writes as follows. Since we say in Shemoneh Esrei, this is halfway down Tosos, we say Elokei Avraham, Havei Kimo Malchus. When you're stating that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the God of Avram, it's stating he's a king. The Avram Avinu Himlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu Al Kol HaOlam, Shehodio Malchuso. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avram found HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you will, and he made his name be aware to the rest of the world. So saying El Kavram, there's no better way to state HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus in this world. So what about all the other brachas? So that happens with the first bracha. Okay, great. There are another 17, 18 other brachas we have to deal with. So he writes, and all the other Rishonim agree with this, bracha smuch l'chaverta, a bracha that's next to another bracha. It uses much of the, you know, the tchilas of the bracha. Right? None of the brachas start with Baruch Atah Hashem after the first bracha, because a bracha smuch l'chaverta. So any brachas that are next to each other, it basically piggybacks off to the first bracha. And once you say malchus in the first bracha, that suffices for the remaining brachas of the Shemoneh Esrei. And that's the answer.
Why doesn't that work for shame?
Why doesn't that work for shame? It's a great question. Great question.
Does that have some kind of bracha?
Versus no having that, that's a bracha.
Right. I mean,
no, I'm saying, but if we're learning off the same pasuk, it should be on the same level. It shouldn't be that.
Yeah, I think it's a great question. I'm trying. I think I may have seen it even addressed somewhere. What it might come down to is, we'll get to a little bit later, that Shem Hashem might be a chiv deraisa, malchus may only be a chiv derabanan. We'll get to that. If that's true, so may there's room to be makil in regards to malchus. So may that's a great. I think someone maybe your fourth book maybe addressed it. You probably know the answer to this, Eitan.
There's two qualifications.
What's the answer? I think someone did address it.
Is it two qualifications or one, or are these two separate answers? Like one of them is because we mentioned Avram in the first one.
What's it right? In terms of the first bracha, once you answer the first bracha, all the other brachas follow suit. Everyone's going to say, everyone holds of the bracha smuch l'chaverta. Everyone agrees to that point. So really the question is, why does the first bracha not have malchus? It does. Elok Avram. That's one answer of Tosos. You flip the Tosos to Mem Tes Amun Aleph in brachos. He gives a different answer. This is going to be a Tosos in Mem Tes Amun Aleph. Oh, you gave a different answer. He says in the first, he gives two answers. Second answer, he writes what he writes earlier, that Elkei Avram is basically Malchus. But the first answer, this is Tosas Dimamaska Baruch Shanosam, he says, since you say Kel Chai V'Kayom, right, when you say Kel Chai V'Kayom, in Emes V'Yotzef, right, the Marshan, the other Chum are trying to figure out what is Tosas talking about. So in Emes V'Yotzev, the Marsha explains, it says a number of times Malchus. Malkeinu, Melech, look in there, so you see it tonight, it says it also in Shemoneh Esrei Maariv, right before Maariv, it says Melech a couple of times. So we're basically the first bracha, if you view the connection of the last bracha of Shema and the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, very much connected. So the Malchus mentioned there in the last bracha of Shema is the Malchus for Shemoneh Esrei, which is kind of strange because out of order. That's question one. It's out of order. Number two, Marsha says, okay, that makes sense for Shacharis, where you say Emes V'Yosef. It makes sense for Maariv, where you say Emuna, but you say Musaf and Mincha. There's no discussion of Malchus prior to Shemoneh Esrei, so it doesn't answer that question. So I saw one Sefer Chavetz Hashon tried to say, well, maybe once we establish it, you know, in general for a couple of Shemoneh Esreis, it was a low plug, it works for all the other Shemoneh Esreis. It sounds like a very weak answer, so that the Marsha doesn't like so much. Other answers are given. The Rosh writes, since you say, this is a Rosh in Brachos, this is found in Perek Vav, Siman Chav Gimel, he says, since you say in Shemoneh Esrei, Kel HaGadol HaGibur VaNora, you're stating on Kadosh Baruch Hu's greatness, HaKel HaGadol HaGibur VaNora, that's another way of saying Malchus. It doesn't mean Malchus itself, the word Melech, but things that try to indicate a Kadosh Baruch Hu's greatness is ruling over the world, that also works for Malchus. That's the Rosh gets out of the problem. The Shilti Giburim, this seems like perhaps the best answer right now. At the end of the bracha, what do we say? Melech Ozer Moshiach Magen. We say Melech. Okay, it's a little delayed. It's also somewhat out of order. But the real word Melech is used. And that's how Shilti Giburim gets out of this question. The Meiri writes, as follows. This is also very interesting. He says, Shemoneh Esrei, when was Shemoneh Esrei instituted? So what are the concepts? Not the actual... Right, so the Avos, connected. Avos Tiknum, Kinegas, Karbonos Tiknum. So the Avos for sure davens, based on all the Midrashim, the Gemara, they for sure davens. But the Avos existed. Malchus wasn't yet in existence. Perhaps the individual Avos, Avram recognized the Kadosh Baruch Hu, Yitzchak and Yaakov recognized the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It wasn't mefursome. It wasn't public who this God was. So since when originally Shemoneh Esrei was instituted, there's no concept of Malchus as of yet, there is no necessity to have Malchus in the bracha of the Shemoneh Esrei. Very clever answer of the Miri. It's a chiddush to say that, well, if Anshei Knesset Gedolah are the ones who established the actual Lashon, so you would think they would employ the words of Malchus. But the perhaps more interesting answer of the Miri is that Shemoneh Esrei is very different than all of the brachas. Every bracha, birchas mitzvahs, birchas peros, every bracha requires shame and malchus. But birchas Shemoneh Esrei are very different. Now this I'm not 100% comfortable with either, but he says as follows. Shelo nemra hazkaras malchus ela bebirchas hanasas abriyas olam. You only have to say malchus when you're saying a bracha on the creation of the world. Oh, ala mitzvahs, that Kadosh Baruch Hu allowed us to do. Kadosh Baruch Hu commanded us to do. We're listening to his commandment, he's the Melech. We're recognizing his Bria with Shevach Vodol and rainbows and thunder, lightning. He's the Borei Olam. That's you're recognizing the Malchus. That's when you have to mention Malchus. When it comes to Tefillah, though, where it's Bakasha, you're asking for things. You're not necessarily saying he's a Melech. You're asking for personal things and communal things. There's no need to mention Malchus. And therefore, Tefillah is very different in nature.
Is there a reason?
He said, because you're not expressing, when you're asking, you're not expressing he's the Melech.
Why wouldn't you want to express
so in the first three brachas, it's the brachas HaShevach, right? The first Shevach Hodah, the first three, you should mention it. That's where you're praising him. The last three is Hodah, you're thanking him. So it doesn't work out so well. He's saying the basic nature of Shemoneh Esrei overall is a bakasha. Yes, there's certain brachas that are Shevach Hodah within Shemoneh Esrei, but the basic tefillah is a bakasha. And when asking, requesting someone, you don't have to state he's a melech. But when you're saying a bracha about the creation of the world, whether it's about thunder, lightning, rainbows, that you have to mention the Melech, the Creator. When you're saying brachas of mitzvahs he commanded you to do, he's commanding you to do that you wear tzitzis, you wear tefillin, you have to recognize his Malchus. That's the answer to the Meiri. Other examples come up as well that you have brachas where there's no Malchus. This is Elkai Neshama. Elkai Neshama where there's no Malchus. Any thoughts how to get out of that one?
Don't we group it with another bracha anyways?
Oh, very good. So the whole discussion is mechokas. What?
I don't know which one.
Right, so for some say it is brachas mechaverta. If it is, then it piggybacks off which What could it be next to?
Ashriyatsar.
Bichtar. So if you assume it's connected to either one of those two, so then you accomplish the malchus through piggybacking off to one of those brachas. But there is an opinion, it's a standalone bracha. It doesn't piggyback off any other bracha. So there's no malchus in it. So the Beis Yosef already addressed this question. Beis Yosef in Siman Reish Yud Daled, he writes that since you mentioned Shakash Baruch Hu's borei neshamos, he creates souls, v'nofchom begufos, and he blows wind, the spirit within them, and then he takes them at night when you go to sleep and returns them back to you. Ein l'chol hazkaras malchus gedol mizu. There's no greater recognition of the kingdom of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. One other case that I came across, another bracha that lacks malchus. The first mission of the last parak of brachos, parak haroa. Parak haroa discusses many, if not all, the birchas hasherecha does, thanking Hakadosh Baruch Hu for lightning and thunder, recognizing all these great things. The very first bracha listed in the Mishnah is haroa makom shenasa bo nes nisim liyisrael. If you see a place where Klai Yisrael experienced an ace, you say baruch she'osa nisim la'avoseinu b'makom hazeh. Thank Hakadosh Baruch Hu. We recognize him that he made miracles to our forefathers in this very place. Okay, there's a lot to discuss. We discussed it early in the year, if those who remember. So the Gemara asks him, how do you know you're supposed to say a bracha when you come to one of these locations that a great nace happened? The Gemara says, Amar b'yochanan, damar kra, but yomer yisro, yisro said, baruch Hashem asher hitzil, and the rest of the pasuk on the side here, eschem miyad mitzrayim, blessed Hakadosh Baruch Hu who saved you from Mitzrayim, umiyad paro, saved you from paro, asher hitzil es ha'om mitachas yad mitzrayim, he saved you, he spared you from the evil paro in Mitzrayim. So this is the source of saying a bracha. So the question Marsha Paneshu asks, if you look at the bracha, it says, Baruch Hashem Hashem Hitzel. It's missing Melech Ha'olam.
Doesn't the word do that a lot, though?
No, the Gemara, there's a Pasuk. The Gemara often says,
right,
the actual source says in Say Malchus. So the Marsha Paneshu both ask the question, and they both answer the same way, that Hetsher Hitzel Eschem Miyad Paro, that's basically stating his malchus. He was taking, Rashi says, why does it say Miyad Mitzrayim and Miyad Paro in the Pasuk? One is he took him from the Melech Paro, one is he took him from the Umo of Mitzrayim. So when you say he was taken from the Melech of Paro, you're stating that Hakadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech. So you find that it's actually here. And that leads us to the next discussion. So if that's the case, is malchus a requirement on Daraisa or Dirabanan level? It sounds from the fact that Marsha Pnei Yeshua need to find the malchus in the pasuk in the Torah, it sounds like they assume malchus is a deraisa requirement. Deraisa requirement. And that's why they have to find a place of malchus from the bracha of Yisro. However, this seems to be against a Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah, back in Reish Yud Daled, talks about bracha levatala. Let's say you say a bracha levatala. So what's considered bracha levatala? If you say baruch ata Hashem Elokeinu melech haolam shehakol nehiyah bidvaro, for no reason, you violate a iser of lo sisa. But he says there's actually a difference. Let's say you say baruch ata melech haolam. You skip shem Hashem. You say melech haolam shehakol nehiyah bidvaro. You don't violate the bracha levatala. You didn't say shem Hashem. But let's say you say baruch ata Hashem and you skip malchus. You say baruch ata Hashem. Is that bracha levatala or not? He says it's a bracha levatala. Even though you skip malchus, it's still considered bracha. And since there's a bracha stated out of context, it's a bracha levatala now. So you see on a deraisa level, this is violating it's a deraisa, lo sisa. So on a deraisa level, malchus is not a requirement. According to the Marsha and the Kneshu, it seems that you wouldn't violate bracha levatala because you hadn't said a bracha. If you miss malchus, it's not a bracha. It sounds like the machlok is a ber alocha in the Pnei Yeshua and Marsha, whether malchus is a chiyah deraisa or derabana, nafka mina being whether you violate a bracha levatala when skipping malchus. Now, go back to the initial discussion. Rav and even Rabbi Yochanan agreed to Rav that everyone needs shem Hashem. You have to say baruch ata Hashem Elokeinu. So, does shem Hashem, is that the only word that works? Are there other shemos of Hashem that would suffice? So Gemara in Memon of Beis already has a discussion of Binyamin Roy. Binyamin Roy was Karech Rivta. He was eating a piece of bread. It's right above that Gemara we saw earlier. And he says this follows. The following bracha he said, Baruch Marei Dehai Pisa. blessed, this is in Aramaic, blessed Akadosh Baruch Hu on this piece of bread. So they say, and he says he's Yotze. I'm a Rav, you're Yotze Bracha. How can be Yotze Bracha? Doesn't Rav say, Kol Bracha She'ein Baz Karas Hashem Ein Bracha? He didn't say Shem Hashem. He said Moreh. He said Master. He didn't say Shem Hashem. So no. He said, Baruch Rachmono Moreh Dehai Pisa. Blessed Rachmono, which is a reference to Aramaic interpretation of Akadosh Baruch Hu's name. The Gemara says, but don't you need three brachas for bread? Don't you need Birkas HaMazon? Where he says, no, it's referring to Bracha Rishona. So Bracha Rishona is Machloki. Rashi's Bracha Rishona refers to the first bracha of benching. The Rashi says it refers also to Birkas HaMotzi. Okay. But what comes out here is that Binyamin Ra'oi was able to use Lashon Rachmana instead of Shem Hashem. Instead of Ad Hashem, he could say Rachmana. Are there other shameless Hashem that would suffice for Baruch Atah Hashem? So the Shaar Tzion writes, this is again in Simin Reish Dalet, Shaar Tzion, Sif Katan Gimel. The Gemara itself. Gemara says Rachmana. So now we have Hashem works, right? Yud Kei Vav Kei works, and right, Shem Adnus works, and we have Rachmana works. So the Shaar Tzion, the Mishnah Berurah adds, he says, near Pasha, it seems pretty obvious. Hu Adin, it should also work, Im Hizkir Eiz Hashem Mishiva Shemos. If you mention any of the other seven names of Hashem, She'enu Nimchakim, the Yotu B'Dievet. There are seven names of Hashem that is, you violate an Issa if you erase any of these seven names. He says, Delo Gara calls them Miteves Rachmana. These words are no less, these Shemos of Hashem are no less than the word Rachmana. If Rachmana works for bracha, so for sure the seven shemos of Hashem should also work for bracha. That's the Shaar Tzion says. However, the Rav Moshe, Yigas Moshe writes in Orachaim Chelik Dalid, Simon Mem Os Chavzayin, he argues in the Mishnah Berurah and says, I don't understand, that's not really true. The only reason why Rachmana works is because Rachmana is a translation, it's a parish of the word Shem Adnas. Yud Kei Vav Kei means Rachmana. Karish Baruch Hu is very merciful. So that's why Rachmana works. But only those two work. Either the Hebrew Shem Hashem, or the Aramaic. Because a bracha could be said in any language, as we'll see in a moment. But the other Sheva Shemos, other seven names that can't be erased, those for sure don't qualify. So we have right now, Shem Hashem, according to the Mishnah Berurah, could be any of the seven names. The Rav Moshe says you can really do Shem Hashem or Rachmano. What about the other words used in the bracha? Baruch, what about Hakah, what about Elkenu? A number of Mishnah Berurahs all over the place that talk about these things. Mishnah Berurah in Simin Reish Yud Gimel, Sif Katan Yotes, writes, that the word Baruch is also essential to Baruch. You have to say Baruch. He does say, however, in Simin Reish Yud Dalet, that if you skip the word Ata, it's okay. So Baruch is essential, Ata is not. Hashem is. Then the Mishnah Berurah writes, Elokeinu is not. You only have to say Shem Hashem once. Hashem Elokeinu, only one is enough. And then the Kesem Mishnah in Hilchos Brachos, Perek Alef Halacha Hey, talks about, let's just keep a word in the Sof of the Bracha, the Chasim of the Bracha. Let's say Shehakol Niyeh Bidvar, let's say you say, I don't know, Shehakol Niyeh, something like that. So it sounds like he's a little wiggle room to work with. If you skip a word there, it's not the biggest deal. In the end, hopefully none of us should encounter any of these questions of saying these brachas, but that's the general structure of a bracha.
Did you say it in English? I'm saying
it. Ah, so now we're going to go to a different discussion now. So the Gemara Mem Alf, Mem Amud Beis again, has a whole discussion about, well, a whole discussion, but it says as follows. We just spoke about earlier that Binyamin Ra'ai, Binyamin said this bracha of Baruch Rachmana Marei Dehai Pisa. Blessed be Hashem that gives us this piece of bread. So the Gemara says, what's the Chiddush here? He used Aramaic. It's Lashon Chol. What's the Chiddush here? There's already a mission. The mission in Sota tells us that Elu Nemrin B'Cholashon, the following things can be said in any language, including Aramaic. Parsha Sota, Vidur Meiser, right, reading the Sota to the woman. Or the Vidur Meiser we spoke about earlier, the Meiser Sheni, you come to Yerushalayim, this particular years, and you make this declaration. Kriyashma could be said in any language. Tefillah could be said in any language. Birkas HaMazon, which includes also all the brachas. All those could be said in any language. So what's the chiddush of Binyamin Roy? Mara says you would think the translation has to be exactly the way the Hebrew translation is, if they're exactly the same order and everything. Kamash Milan, if you change the language around a little bit, as long as you mention the word bread and Shem Hashem and Malchus, whatever you make it, that suffices. But what comes out is any language works for bracha. So I want to move to a discussion. It might be a good transition from the previous topics of Rabbi Leibowitz doing Hilchos Kriyashma, a general discussion of B'chol Lashon. When does or how do other languages work in the context of Shema, and it will carry over to Hilchos Brachos as well. So again, the halacha is you could say it in any language. We're going to get into a discussion to the nature of all languages. How do all languages work? Why do all languages work as a substitute for Lashon HaKodesh? You're all with me, then we're getting to a new topic. This, I didn't have Mar Makomos on that. I didn't think you guys would get past this just yet. If you did, I apologize. I'll make more for next time. So, the Gemara, if you want to look inside, the Gemara in Brachos, if you give them an Aleph, you don't have to, if you don't want to, the Gemara, there, quotes a Machlokas Rebbe Chachamim, they argue about a number of issues relating to Shema. One thing they argue about is whether Shema could be said only Lashon HaKodesh, or it could be said Bechol Lashon. Rebbe says it has to be Dafka B'Lashon HaKodesh, and Chachamim say it could be B'chol Lashon, any language you want. And the Chachamim Paskin, of course, like the Chachamim, that it could be said B'chol Lashon. Now, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Kriyashma, Perek Beis Halacha Yud.
That was only talking about Kriyashma?
Exactly, only Kriyashma. We're going to get into the other things. We're going to focus now on Kriyashma in particular, but that's going to overflow into other areas as well. So the Rambam in Hilchos Kriyashma, Perek Beis Halacha Yud, says as follows. Kore Odom es Shema B'cholashin, one's allowed to read Shema in any language, Sheyehe Makiro, as long as he understands that language. Shulchan Aruch, Simon Samach Beis, all the halachas are found in regarding Shema in any language. He says, he quotes the Rambam, but leaves something very, very important out. He says, this is Siv Beis, Yachol Likrosa B'chol Lashon. And he has something else we'll get to in a second, but he leaves out the very important key line of the Rambam that you have to understand what you're saying. Shulchan Aruch leaves that point out. Now the Magen Avraham there writes in Sif Katan Aleph, the Shulchan Aruch meant to say that also, you have to understand what you're saying. I saw the Chiddush Rabbi Shmuel Rizovsky also says most poskim think that even the Shulchan Aruch thinks you have to understand what you're saying. But face value, this seems like it's a machlokas Rambam, Shulchan Aruch, whether you have to understand any language or not. That itself is very intriguing. What's the machlokas? What are they arguing about? Whether you have to understand every language or not. Now, there's a machlokas. Actually, leave this machlokas out maybe for tomorrow. The continuation of the Rambam in Halacha Yud says something also very interesting, but more interesting than that is the Ravid. The Rambam goes on to say, when you read Shema B'chol Lashon, Tzarech Lehizahir, be very, very careful, Midivrei Shibush, from making any mistakes when translating. Shibos Halashon, when you translate into English or whatever language you might be, very, very careful. Umedaktik Bos Halashon, be very precise in that language. Kamosh Medaktik B'Lashon HaKodesh. Just like you're so medaktik when you read Shema in Lashon HaKodesh, so to be the same carefulness when you're interpreting, translating into another language. Okay, sounds very fair with the Rambam. The Ravid, however, attacks him and says, Ein Zimukubal, this is not very accepted. Al hadas, or my das, lefisha kol halashonos perishen la'ivris. All languages are translations of Hebrew. Umayidaktik od acher perisha. What greater precision is there going to be? You're just interpreting Hebrew. What's the Rambam so concerned with? So Kesem Mishnah just writes very simply. He's just giving you, just make sure you do it carefully. That's all. Don't be so lax about it. Just make sure you're very careful in picking the right words, because every language is. You know, the number of words you could use, you see in the article, people have these drushes, they're based on the article, use this word to interpret this Hebrew word, they're wrong for using that English word, because the word really means something else. So it's very hard sometimes to find the most precise translation of a Hebrew word. That's all the Rambam was trying to do, nothing deeper than that. However, the toughest panach, the Rugachover, says there's actually a very deep machlokas between the Rambam and the Rambam. on one hand, the rabbi writes, this is the toughest panach on this halacha. Oftentimes, the toughest panach is like all over. It's, I don't know how he organizes. It's very hard to follow. But on this halacha, he comments, the rabbi thinks all languages are simply a parish of Lashon HaKodesh. Hebrew is the main language. Every other language is the parish. Right? It's the toughest panach. What does the Rambam hold? The Rambam holds every language is a Lashon Bifnei Atzmo. Every language, Aramaic is not a translation of Hebrew. Aramaic is its own language. And that's why, just like when you read Shema, B'Lashon HaKodesh, you have to be medaptic. So too, when you read it in Aramaic, or if you read it in English, or you read it in Spanish, you're supposed to be medaptic. Because it's also an own language. I'll tell you Nafka Mina, he says. Nafka Mina, writes the Rugged Traveler, is when translating Hebrew into English, do you have to make sure it's in the right order? Let's say the word Vayom, the Pasuk, Vayomar Hashem El Avram. So in English, literally, if you took it, would be, and he said Hashem to Avram. So if it was a parish, maybe you'd be Yotze saying, he said Hashem to Avram. But if it's a language in its own right, you have to speak that language. You have to say, Hashem said to Avram. And you have to change the order around. Often, for me, I have a very hard time reading many of the psukim in Tanakh, especially like Yeshayahu and Yirmiyahu. I wish I learned it more. It's very poetic. So sometimes it's hard to understand because the verbs and the nouns, everything's like backwards the way it's in English. You have to sometimes read, look for like the noun is like the third word of the pasuk when in English it's really the first word. So you get lost. So it happens often.
That's why we don't learn Tanakh.
That's one reason we don't learn Tanakh, right? So anyway, so this Ragusha makes for a very interesting machlokas, how to view other languages. Are other languages simply a parish of Hebrew, or are they languages in their own right? So now we can understand the hokus we mentioned earlier. About, yeah.
But the Rambam saying, it doesn't fit with the Rambam. If you're saying you have to do it in that, in like the same order as Hebrew, you know, if that's what he says, you have to be careful if you're translating and making sure. Doesn't that kind of imply that you have to understand it?
The Rambam says you have to, when you read the whole Lashon, you have to understand it. Yes, he says that already earlier.
So it's like the way you're explaining is like, you're reading, like, you could also be reading in a different order, right? So if you're reading in order, which is like almost not understandable, then that's not understanding it. The Rambam wouldn't hold like that. You know what I'm saying? It's like a little bit twisted the way it's
understanding
the Rambam.
Yeah, I think I know you're Yeah, there's a kash in the Rambam we'll get to in a second, if that's what you're trying to get at. I think so. Let me just explain this point. I think you're right. So if you understand, let's say, we have now another machlokas. Do you have to understand the whole Lashon or not? Most people assume, we're going to take this for granted right now, most hold when you read Lashon HaKodesh, you don't have to understand what you're reading. You just say Shema without understanding it. So if that's the case, so then if you think other languages are also their own accredited language, you also won't have to understand what you're saying. That might be Peshat Shulchan Aruch. You don't have to understand. Just like Lashon HaKodesh, you can read without understanding. Go to B'chol Lashon, you can read without understanding. Because they're all, you know, both real, good, full-fledged languages. But if it's the other way around, that's like the Rive, that's really a parish of the Hebrew. So Hebrew, Lashon HaKodesh, can be read without understanding. But if you want to take the parish route, you want to do the explanation, you have to understand what you're reading. Because you don't have the words, you only have the content.
So then the Rambam's not like the Rambam.
So that's what I think I've been trying to get at. Exactly. Exactly. So
this is definitely, yeah.
So we'll get this later. So we'll leave that as Sarkin, meaning the problem with the Rambam is as follows. We explain the Rambam as saying that all languages are languages on their own right. They're not perishim of the Hebrew. They're a full-fledged language. If that's the case, then just like Hebrew doesn't need to be understood, so you shouldn't have to understand other languages. Yet the Rambam says you have to understand the other languages. Why? That's a tzarachin that you guys both picked up on. I hope you'll get to at the end. Leave that in the back pocket. But the basic right now, machlokas, is are other languages a parish of Hebrew, or their languages b'fnei. So this gets to another question. What about the which languages are included? Could you use any language? So Tosas writes in Yud Gimel, where this discussion is found, Tosas writes, this diramaskable Lashon HaKodesh, he says, B'chol Lashon Nemer B'Sinai, every language was actually used at Har Sinai. Shekol Dibur V'Dibur, Shehaya Yotzim P'i HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every Dibur, the Aseres Dibros that came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hayo Mischalik L'Shivim Lashon, dispersed itself in 70 languages, right? There are 70 languages. Now, if you go to any, I don't know where you're going to look for these things, encyclopedia, let's say, there are much more than 70 languages in this world.
Well, much more. They're probably like dialects. Meaning, it's not to say true. It could be like 70, but like, there are offshoots of...
Okay, so, I'm saying, so this is all... So,
which cannot, may not count as a...
But if it wasn't, let's say English wasn't used at Kabbalah
Torah... That's a derivative of so many languages.
No, so the words that we use were not stated at Kabbalah Torah, let's say.
They were, probably. Right. I'm saying, I don't know if this is like, heresy.
Okay. I don't know about these languages. Let's say there's a language. It's a language that completely, people on an island in Australia, the Aborigines, they had their own language, okay? It wasn't, from anyone else. Okay. So could that be used? Okay. Tosa says it's limited to the 70 languages and perhaps offshoots of those that were said at Kabbalah Torah. So that would make a lot of sense if you say, like Rambam, that each language is not a perish of Ivris. They're a lashon b'fnei atzmo. They're worthy of their own language. You're only worthy of an own language if perhaps the Kadosh Baruch Hu granted you that place in history that you're considered one of the 70 nations. Only those 70 languages will suffice. But if you understand, like the Ravid, that every language is simply a perish of Hebrew, so it doesn't have to be of the 70 languages. Any perish you have, as long as you're interpreting correctly, Lashon HaKodesh would suffice. So this would be yet another nafkamino, whether other languages are considered their own language or simply a perish of Hebrew. There's a very interesting discussion in the Ber Halacha here in Siman Samech Beis. The Ber Halacha is Mechadish as follows. When using other languages other than Hebrew, it only works if you're speaking French in France or Spanish in Spain or Italian in Italy, only in your country. Or perhaps there are certain countries, let's say America now, Spanish and English would be considered mainstream languages, so Spanish in America would work also. It doesn't have to be the place of origin, but as long as a main language spoken in that country, then it works. But if you're a Yachid, you're Israeli in Argentina speaking Hebrew, so it's not a main language, so you wouldn't be Yotz. Well, he was not a bad example. Lashon Kodesh is Yotz anywhere. Let's say you're Spanish going to China. Okay, probably not too many. this is the Mishnah Berurah, the Ber Halacha. Right? If you're speaking Spanish, saying a bracha in Spanish in China, it probably won't work because Spanish is not the country spoken language. So
how can Aramaic
be used? So maybe nowadays it would. Maybe in those times in Bava it was. Maybe nowadays it wouldn't work. You're right. So what are the halacha? What are the rayas that he has? The Ber Halacha says, I'll tell you a great raya from Gemara Kedushin Daf Vav. Gemara Kedushin Daf Vav talks about some of the languages used to marry, to perform Kedushin with a woman. And one of the languages used is Harufasi. Harufasi is probably derived from the Shifcha Harufa, a pasuk in the Torah. A Shifcha Harufa is some sort of designated Shivcha. It's some type of Kedushin. So Gemara says it only works in Yehuda. It doesn't work elsewhere. Why is it only Yehuda nor else? Because in Yehuda, that's the way they spoke. The Harufa was the way they referred to Kedushin. So Kedushin only works with that language if you're in that location where the language is used. But if you're using Harufa elsewhere where that language is not used, it won't work. That's his riot. Now, Yesh L'Chalik, I'm not going to get into how one would Chalik exactly, but he's talking about Kedushin. Kedushin might be very different of Hilchos Brachos. So how you can distinguish Kedushin might be based on Das of the man and the woman. So they know what they're talking about, so perhaps it would suffice. Quotes another Raya from the Ritva. The Ritva Nedarim, Daf Alf Amin Alf, but Daf Perif, he mentioned the same idea, and it comes in Nedarim, that Nidarim could only, if you use other types of languages for Nidarim, it only works if you're in that actual place. The Rambam, however, Shmuel Rizovsky also, safe in Chelek Nidarim, Siman Aleph, he says the Rambam argues on this. He's medayik in the Rambam, it seems pretty clear in the Rambam from this diuk. Rambam says no. For Nidarim, that you could use if it's in one of the languages being used, Spanish could be used anywhere in the world. Italian could be used Chinese anywhere in the world. The Ritva says it only limits to the countries that those languages are used. Rambam says it works everywhere. And the Chora of Shmuel says this also should work for Hilchas Brachos. The Rambam's never Mechalik. He says, B'chol Lashem. Any language works for Brachos. He doesn't say you have to be in China to use Chinese and Spain to use Spanish. Any place you are, the B'chol Lashem works. While the Mishabura limits it, even the Hilchas Brachos. If you want to use Spanish, you have to be in Spain. What's the Machlokas about? So it sounds like the way they explain Pashas is that Rambam is the Shitasod. Rambam says Spanish is one of the 70 languages. It's a good language. No matter where you are, it's a good language. It's a great way of expressing thanks, karasta, whatever it is, to Kadosh Baruch Hu stating a bracha. However, the Ritva holds like the Raiva. That's simply a parish. And the parish is only going to be an effective parish if you're in a place where they use such languages. If you're using a language where it's not used in that country, it's not going to work as a sufficient parish. That's what Shmuel Rizovsky explains. Machlok is about location. I'm not sure. I'm guessing, but I don't know. I really don't know.
This is the top part.
Yeah.
Like, we need a linguist here.
Now, there's another interesting machlokas in regards to Megillah. Megillah is being read in other languages. So there's a Rambam, the way the Ramban, the Ritva, and the Rashba interpret the Rambam says that, let's say someone could read the Megillah in Hebrew and in any language. So the Ramban himself and the Ritva and the Rashba say you have to take the Hebrew route. You can't do the Spanish route if you know Hebrew. You have to take the Hebrew route. They understand from the Rambam, I think it's Shudik, it's not explicit in the Rambam, but this is their understanding of the Rambam, that no, you have a choice. Just like you can read Megillah in Hebrew, you can read Megillah in Spanish or any other, or I'm not sure, any one of the 70 languages, let's say. What's a machlokas? Same thing. The Rambam thinks that the 70 languages are a real full-fledged language. So just like Hebrew can be used for Megillah, so to Spanish, any language can be used as long as it's one of the 70 languages. But according to the other ones, no. All languages are simply a parish of Lashon HaKodesh. A parish is secondary to the actual Lashon. So therefore, ideally, you should use Lashon HaKodesh. If you don't know Lashon HaKodesh, so then you can use Spanish, English, whatever else it may be.
Is there maybe the effect that this is we're trying to learn all these Darabanans from the Daraisa? Like, maybe the Rambam would rule like this
Well, so Megillah has a pretty high status in terms of Divrei Kabbalah. It's more than just a Dirban. But, Now, so we had another discussion we mentioned before. We've been focusing right now on Chol Lashon. What about Lashon HaKodesh? We said before, when it came to Chol Lashon, there's machlokas perhaps, whether you have to understand the language you're saying. Rambam says you have to understand it. Shulchan Aruch maybe argued he left it out. What about Lashon HaKodesh? Do I have to understand what I'm saying or not? So Prima Gadlim has a suffix, whether you have to understand or not. This is also in Siman Samach Beis. You have to understand what you're saying in Lashon HaKodesh. Pasha says you don't have to. The way Pasha says you don't have to understand Lashon HaKodesh. Mishabura says most people, when it comes to Shema, most people understand at least the first pasuk, but you don't have to understand Lashon HaKodesh to say it. So, what's the difference? Why, when it comes to Chol Lashon, you have to understand what you're saying? When it comes to Lashon HaKodesh, you don't have to understand what you're saying. What's the difference? So the Be'er Halacha writes basically what we're saying, yeah. Very good, exactly. Like the Raivin. It itself is a cheft, it's a lush on its own. It itself has an intrinsic value. All other languages are based on nations. They're, if you will, like the Raivin, perushim of Hebrew. So if you want to use a perush, you have to understand the perush. So that's the difference. Why Hebrew you don't have to understand, but other languages you do have to understand. And that works fine and well for the Raivin. For the Rambam, who says all other languages are also intrinsically important. They're part of these 70 languages that were given at Kabbalah Satara. So this distinction won't help. This is basically the question we had before. What's the difference of Hebrew and, well, not exactly the question, not exactly, but what's the difference of Hebrew? There has to be some difference of Hebrew itself and the other languages. So I saw in Kabbalah Tel Sasharon quoted from Brisker Rav as follows. When it comes to Kriyat Shema in particular, there are two ways of being Mekai in the midst of Kriyat Shema. One way is Kriyat Shema, reading Shema. Shema Yisrael, Shema, that's one way, reading the words. The second way is reading the Dvarim, the word, not just reciting them, but understanding what you're saying. So if you take the track of reciting them, you could take the Lashon HaKodesh track, you could recite it, you'll say Kriyat Shema by reciting it without understanding it. The other track you could take is understanding the words, the content. And taking the content track, that you have to understand what you're saying. If you can use B'chol Lashon, then you have to understand. So that's the distinction of the Rambam. Lashon HaKodesh, you don't have to understand anything. They're both intrinsic. Both Lashon HaKodesh is intrinsic, and the B'chol Lashon are also intrinsic. So even though they're all intrinsic, why do we say before the Rambam says you have to understand Hebrew, the other languages, and Hebrew you don't have to understand? Because Hebrew is a different track. You're taking the track of reciting as opposed to understanding. Now, Lalacha, the way the Mishnah Berurah paskins, is that you could say Shema in any language. You could say Shema, Brachos, Birchas HaMazon, Birchas HaMitzvos, Birchas HaMitzvos. All Brachos you could say in any language as long as you understand the language you're saying. That applies to all Brachos, everything Tefillah. But, of course, in Mitzvah and Amuvchar, it's much better to say it in Lashon HaKodesh. Now, one interesting side point I'll mention, we'll speak of Lashon Kodesh for a moment. Fascinating, Machlokas Rambam Ramban. Ramban, I think Kisisa or something, maybe by Yakel, somewhere at the end of Shmos, Perek Lamed. Quotes from the Rambam Mor Nevuchim, and Ramban argues, why is it Lashon Kodesh? What's unique about Lashon Kodesh? The Rambam writes, Lashon Kodesh is unique because there's no inappropriate word in Lashon Kodesh. Any inappropriate word, there's no Hebrew word for it. The Ramban says you're wrong. It's Lashon HaKodesh because that's the language HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses. That's the language HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses to converse, to dialogue with the Nevi'im. That's how he talks. And because HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses it, that's what makes it so special. That's the Machlokas. The Ritva has a Sefer called Sefer, I think Sefer Zikaron, where he comes to defend the Rambam in a number of attacks by the Ramban. The Ramban attacks him. One example, the Ramban attacks the Rambam in the purpose of Karbanos. The Ritva comes along in a Sefer Zikaron and he protects him. In this case, says the Rambam, I do not have your back. I think you're completely wrong on this one. I'm with the Ramban, that the reason why it's Lashon HaKodesh is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks that language. Now, one point I'll mention, I'll conclude with this, will hopefully be a segue into tomorrow. When it comes to Hilchos Brachos, so we said before that when it comes to Chol Lashon, you have to understand what you're saying. Tosfos in Sota Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, the Magen Avraham quotes in Siman Samech Beis, he says, it's only true for, and bring it here, but that's true, you only have to understand the language when it comes to benching, when it comes to tefillah, I forget the whole list. When it comes to birchas hamitzos, when it comes to birchas haperos, for our case, birchas haperos, you don't have to understand what you're saying. Mishnah Berurah says you do have to understand when it comes to birchas haperos. Meaning what comes out is, yes, the Mishnah Paskins, when it comes to, we're going to now focus in on birchas haperos, that's going to be our focus, birchas hanenin. When it comes to Birchas Hanenin, Magen Avraham Paskins, you don't have to understand what you're saying if you use other languages, and the Mishnah Berurah says you do have to understand. What exactly is that Machlokas about? We're going to kind of move away from the understanding of different languages, and it's going to somehow, what to do, how we understand the nature of Birchas Hanenin, that's going to hopefully answer this question. So we'll stop here now, but we're going to try to do, I guess, the next few days, we're going to start with the nature of Birchas Hanenin. We're going to get into various halachas, what's considered achila, what's not considered achila. We're going to get into specific brachas of Birchas Agafen, wine, grape juice. We get into discussions of drinking oil. We get into discussions what's considered fruit, how ripe does the fruit have to be, hopefully Ikra Tafel, Pasabab Akinsim. But this is hopefully just the introductory share of Hilchos Brachos in general.